a big score, and Champion Equine, the client, and this helped the sale, you know, set a gross record, and they came very close. They were just off on average and just off on median, but I mean they were almost identical, and below 20% on RNAs. It just was a smashing addition again, and this is now a broken record. I mean, the demand obviously for, you know, quote unquote nice horses. What else do you, you know, how else do you describe them? Anything that, you know, anything that vets, and even some things that might have, you know, some little issues. You know, that's one of the interesting parts of this, that certain, you know, if you work with your team of vets and so forth, and the something shows up maybe on a scan, and you know, one vet says, "Ooh, that, you know, that's going to have to come out." Another one says, "Meh, it's not going to bother." You know, that's the decision making process, and that also, you know, helps, you know, sift out, you know, the number of potential bidders, and, you know, therefore affects the price. I mean, that's if they've got a little something that shows up, and then, you know, they make decision about throats and make decisions about all the, you know, the various parts of a horse that come into play. But this Arrogate colt establishes a new high at Saratoga for the New York breds, $700,000. Eaton Sales consigning for Longford Farm, and they obviously excited, thrilled, over the moon, etc. The $600,000 we talked about, the hard spun. There was the Nyquist colt that went for $375,000. That ended up yesterday being the third biggest knockdown, and the Good Magic from Sunday that the Reeves bought. And the very nice article, actually, in the, if you didn't see the piece in, was it in, where did I see it? Was it at Blood Horse or was it at TDN? Might have been a TDN, that about the Reeves being on a real roll. And of course that included the win on Sunday in the Mahoney, this very nice big Invasion, who's like a boulder going downhill. Big Invasion, 98 buyer for the Declaration of War, winning the Mahoney on Sunday. I don't think I had mentioned that, but the Reeves, who have been free spenders, and you know, have done, you know, the acquisition work in a lot of different directions. They've bought ready-made horses that, you know, careers have gotten underway. That's of course how they got Mucho Macho Man, and then they've bought like this. They just love it. They're gung-ho. They love being here at Saratoga all summer. And Dean and Patty Reeves, $370,000 for the Good Magic filly. That was the top filly price at the sale. And then a very actually beyond that, a very nice assortment. Really, there was a little bit of everything that went on, and that included, you know, a couple of new sires and you know, second year types. It was a very nice, just a very nice spirit. I was over there yesterday for a good portion of the afternoon, and really enjoyed it. A number of pinhook purchases, including our friend Dave Scanlon bought an Audible filly, for instance, hit 371. Just noticed that, 190, that was at the bottom of that page. And I got to talk to Marty Shapiro, too. Marty, of course, Dave's partner on a lot of projects, on a lot of pinhooks. I really haven't gone through this yet for the pinhook potentials. We see a lot of end users and a nice mix. I was with Lee after Lee was on the air with us, and thanks again to everybody yesterday. What a fun, I really had a fun time yesterday, and it was actually nice to be there and not have to worry about the intercom, you know, the speakers over your head blaring, you know, music and whatever else, you know, quiet. Just, you know, there weren't obviously the access to people like we do on a race day, like we will tomorrow, that wander by and we slap on the air. But in terms of, you know, just a relaxed atmosphere, and the time spent, I thought, with Tom Rooney, and I appreciate Tom's, you know, willingness for me to, you know, to sound off, and you know, he's, as we said yesterday, he's a valuable addition to the, you know, racing steering management types. Very, very good and fair and, you know, direct. He's going to be a huge asset. So I appreciated his responses to, you know, a lot of the things that I broached yesterday. And then it was fun. They had a great reaction to Randy, his visit, and I'm very anxious to hear how many ice cream cones fly out the door from Hildebrandt's. But we'll continue today with some more of our post-script conversation. Al Stahl, who we never got to yesterday, thanks for Chuck for coming by, too. And we'll get Chuck. We got a couple more weeks to feather Chuck into visits, and we didn't have time to end up having the kind of conversation we wanted to with him. I wanted to throw a few things by him. So anyway, I thought yesterday was great fun and hopefully informative. The direction I was going with Lee and his visit, he said he had one in mind, and it was an audible colt. It ended up being Hip 500 out of a Tisnow mare, Bear's Measure, that Colin Brennan offered. And Lee paid $200 for this audible colt. And he said, there's one in here. I said, what's the budget? He said, $150 would be great, $200, you know, in that. And that's exactly where it ended up, $150. So we'll probably do a little bit more and close out the sale season here at Saratoga with Sid tomorrow, and then we'll start to turn our attention toward Keeneland. A couple of weeks into September, we'll be in Kentucky for 2 weeks at least, looks like, between Kentucky Downs, Keeneland sale, back to Kentucky Downs, and then Churchill opening the Churchill opening weekend. So, looking forward to autumn in the bluegrass. Yeah, should be good. Give me here, let's see, 9:12. A couple more minutes before we talk to Al Stahl. So let me catch up on what's happening today. Al Stahl. We'll start there. Al Stahl. The special thing that I was hinting at, if you're a Twitter user, just user. If you're a Twitter user, you have already seen, and frankly, I think I caught a wave with this. Look at this. Everybody's enjoying it. I was alerted to this last week. I was driving back from the track Saturday, I think. Doesn't matter. And I look down at the phone starts to ring, and there it says, Andy Beyer. Andy, good morning. What's going on? Steve. It's always great when you hear Andy's voice. It's a, you know, it's like, it's sort of like a burning bush. And Andy said, you know, there's something coming up next week. He said, next Tuesday, the 16th. So what is it? He said, it's the 50th anniversary of Secretariat winning the Sanford. How about that? And a couple of things about this. The fact that the Sanford was at, you know, the midpoint, essentially, of the meet, right? I mean, the 24-day meet at that time. So It was the second week, not early in the meet. But Andy said, you know, I was there, and it felt special, and you know, the effort was, you know, really eye-opening. And he said, I'd love to talk about it. I said, of course. How am I going to say no to that? And clearly, everybody's interested in it, because I put up the tweet. If you're not on Twitter, here's what I wrote. August 16th, 1972, on this date, 50 years ago in the Sanford Secretariat, for $5, wins his first stake, going unfavored for the only time in his career. And Andy would join us to appreciate the moment in time. And, of course, Linda's Chief is the horse that was preferred by the betting public, and with good reason. It wasn't as if Linda's Chief didn't deserve it. And Braulio Baeza, 4-5 for the late Neil Hellman, very, very well-known owner and character. And Al Scotti, who Gary came up under training. So Linda's Chief goes favored, and I'm going to put the link up to the video. The video, there's actually two different versions. There's one that's silent that Naira put out and without the call, and then there's one that has Al Scotti talking about Linda's Chief. Actually, and he said, even though Secretariat had broken the maiden, and there was awareness, it wasn't thought of yet, obviously, as the kind of star he would ultimately, obviously, be, and even ultimately be as a 2-year-old. You didn't even have to wait for the 3-year-old season, obviously, with what he accomplished. So. Al Scotti said he didn't think that Linda's Chief could get beat. And the video does have, it's got Scotti kind of commenting, and then you can hear the call underneath with Dave Johnson. And so I'll put the link up, and you can watch it. The 1972 Sanford, part of today's Gabfest. As I sometimes call the show. Looking forward to Andy. Looking forward to Jessica Paquette rolling in hour two as well. And Jess is going to talk about the stakes at Colonial today. It's a very nice card. And in addition to the stakes, we've got I won't do this with her. There's no reason to take up time because she's got all kinds of things going on. I mean, she's got TRF, right? She's on the board of something. I think TRF. And so she said there's a conference call that she has to get to, and then there's the race day. But yesterday, a quick note at Colonial and Monmouth, and yesterday's, we didn't get a chance to do it, and I had all the PPs, and I had only glanced, so I wasn't in position to try to handicap it and offer any insight beyond just mentioning it. But the cross country yesterday paid $2,364, and the prices you had starting at Monmouth, you had a fairly straightforward winner pay $680 to get things going. And when I say straightforward, there is a wrinkle because there was a DQ. And, in fact, the DQ was Mrs. De Tomaso. Isabel got taken down with Kitten's Collusion and, happened to kind of drift and bothered the ultimate third place finisher, and was placed behind that one, which moved up Persepacious. And so Ken Sweezy got put up with a jersey. These are jersey breds. And of course, Mrs. De Tomaso and her sister, Pope Jones, the Isabel Haskell sisters. And so you had, you know, I'm sure a number of people stayed alive. But then you went to Colonial, and at Colonial, you had two very tricky horses, 1280 and 1780, that won the seventh and eighth. The seventh was Tack E Lady, the point of entry out of Stormy Tack, the John Marshall bred, the Pennsylvania bred, Michael Blazewski, for Lynn, with it, Lynn Ashby, and 11-2 essentially, back to Monmouth for the other difficult horse, Ready to Fly. Pat McBurney paid $27.40. So this was tough. I mean, once you got past the DQ, winner, the move up, 680, 1280, 2740. And 1780 in the Colonial Eighth, Sanctified Stidham for Kelly Thoroughbreds, homebred of theirs, another point of entry. How about that? That's interesting, right? Two point of entries that won both sides of Colonial. Colonial also yesterday. I want to give you the two jump race results, but $2,364 if you made it through this gauntlet, and this was tough. 44,000. So take out 15%, right? So take out 6,600. So 38,000. So what? 14 winners, right? 23,000. Or more, actually, a few more than that. I'm not doing it in our head, as it were. So anyway, that was the action yesterday, Monmouth and Colonial. And I should also mention on the stakes front, Boo Boo Kitty with a wire job. How about this for Kevin Rice? This was in the Satin and Lace, 13-1, paid $29.20, and beat Club Car. Club Car was 3-2. Joe Talamo came to town to ride for Ben Colbrook and the Balls for KK and Michael Ball, and Boo Boo Kitty could not be caught. 22-1, 44-3, 56 flat, 29-20. Yeah, to win the Satin and Lace. And then there was actually also a stake. I'll throw this in because I did notice and I didn't mention yesterday, which was remiss. The Jack Better Be Right, the filly and mare stake at Finger Lakes, too. And the Bustin' Stones, the homebred of Barry Schwartz, Stonewall Farm. Whenever you see Stonewall Farm, that's Barry. And Michael Ferraro sending out this one with Louis Perez. And a romping winner, actually, as second choice. Yeah, one off by half a dozen. And the Jack Better Be Right. All right, so that was yesterday. I think we, right? Is that everything? Oh, and the two races at Colonial over the jumps. And, of course, tomorrow we do have the Grade 1. We've got the Jonathan Shepard, New York Turf Riders Cup handicap. A couple of results here, though. Bandua, who you probably, I assume you remember, right, from Jack Sisterson? Good old Bandua, Arlington handicap winner, and a good stake horse, now 7 years old, and now he's a winner over the jumps. How great is this? Neil Morris gets his first win of the meet. For owner Michael Smith, second try over hurdles for Bandua. Very cool. And then in the handicap race, then a smallish field in the handicap, and Richard Hendricks sent out Dan D'Onofrio's fighting Irish a bit. Fighting Irish a bit. Little bit of a goofy name, but one off by 13. So there's the two jump action results. All right, so there's Monday at Colonial and everywhere else. I gave you the sale results. We'll put that aside. Try to stay is. That article, by the way, was in the TDN about the Reeveses. Yeah, it was in the TDN. It's. I'll send a link. Reeves on a roll at Saratoga. And speaking of the Reeveses, we've also got a conversation this morning. We're going to reach out for Jack D'Amico and the senator and talk about Georgia horse racing and getting Georgia over the top. I haven't talked to him, just going through the stack of stuff here. I haven't talked to Jerry Brown about it yet, but I saw yesterday where Jerry on the Thoroughgraph board, he's made an adjustment to the Belmont result. He says he's never done this before. So in all the years he's done figures, I mean, particularly he's saying for a classic race. He said, but he's made an adjustment. So we're going to get the details and what prompted it. He said, some recent results. Skippy Longstocking's win in West Virginia. And, of course, Nest subsequently winning. And so he went back and he went to, check the correlation from a figure standpoint. And has made an adjustment. And I'm just looking at those results. And, of course, Rich Strike is on the grounds and preparing for Travers. The conversation will, even with Alabama looming, we'll start to get toward Travers' interests. All right, and there's Colonial for later, and Al Stahl here shortly. I still also have plenty of, we really, it was such a big day. Oh, I reached out, and let me see if we've heard back to get Tom in here. We've reached out to Tom Wenzel, and I would love to get Tom to visit and congratulate him on his second Long Acres Mile. There is no, it doesn't matter if it's graded these days or not. It doesn't matter if the purse is $50,000 or $300,000, the race has such a import and place in the lives of Pacific Northwest horsemen and in all connections. It's the favorite race. That's something we talked about, right, this season quite a bit between Al Gold winning the Haskell, between Mike Rapoli winning a Belmont. You get attached to the momentous event in whatever region you came to, take an interest in the game. So, the Northwest, the Long Acres Mile. You heard John White for years talk about how special and how anticipated. And if you've never seen, I'll put the picture up today. If we talk to Tom, I'm waiting to hear back. But if you've never seen the picture of Long Acres, it's quite remarkable, actually, with the trees, with these, I guess they're Colorado spruce, maybe the tall, thin. We've got one here, Colorado spruce, I think. They. Tall, thin. I'll put that picture up. I've put it up over the years a number of times. So Tom Wenzel's second win. He won with 2007, so 15 years ago was his first. And you know what I did notice, actually, because I thought Wenzel had won a Long Acres Mile before. And so I went and I wanted to look at the list of winners. And one thing that jumped out at me, considering that he came up the other day in conversation, John Parasella. The conversation we had, if you didn't hear Tom Amos last week, and he worked for Parasella. Parasella, when he was on the West Coast, he won a Long Acres Mile for Ted Sabrese. And in fact, he was training, Frankel had won previously with Simply Majestic the year before. And then Parasella, there's also a funny harmony to have John Parasella and Bobby Frankel on consecutive lines. We'll let those of you that know, that's some inside baseball too. In fact, there's a couple of funny things when you look at these. You look at the Long Acres Mile. Here's something I don't know if I've ever noticed this. Michael Whittingham, he brought Skywalker up and won, and then Judge Angelucci for Charlie the next year. So the Whittinghams on consecutive lines in Long Acres Mile history. And who else is here that you wouldn't necessarily expect? Frankel, yeah, Frankel won this year. Frankel would target this. He had horses for this, and in fact, he won his first one in 1976. And in fact, Johnny's going to be on later, Johnny D. And in fact, that's interesting. This probably predates Johnny's handling of Sandy Hawley, but Sandy, it's interesting. Johnny, I know you're, I assume you're listening. Sandy won with Uwippy in 76 for Bobby, and then came back and won another one for Laurie Anderson with Pompey Court in 82. Now, I don't know if Johnny, no, I don't even think. I think Johnny might have been working publicity then. You could tell me anytime you want, Johnny. Send me a note. Laurie Anderson won back-to-back with Pompey Court and then with the great Chinook Pass. Frankel, Simply Majestic, as mentioned. Louis Cipher for Edmund Gann. With Gary Stevens, and that I think that's the last of the three Frankel. Three times Frankel won the Long Acres Mile. And here's just looking to see who's active. That how far back? Mandela in 78 with Bad and Big. 45 years ago, you know it's amazing. 45 years ago. Unbelievable. So, Long Acres Mile. All right, we very well may talk to Tom Wenzel today, who we haven't talked to in too long. All right, so, and let me see. Here's, now, he's retired, because we talked to him when he retired, but Jim Penny, as well. Penny won with Theologist in 77. And you know, when you see the kind of big names that would go up to Long Acres at the time and now Emerald, Emerald did $3 million on Sunday. They had a very big day. Congratulations to them. They had obviously a very good day. But you look at the list of what I mentioned, the likes of Gary Stevens, Go-Go with Bud Royal in 99. Eddie Delahousse, Eddie D with Wild Wonder for Greg Gilchrist. Lafitte Pinkai, Skywalker for Mike Whittingham. Lafitte also with Chinook Pass. The Shoe. Shoe was on for Mandela. Bad and Big. Johnny Sellers, going back a little bit. Johnny Longden, of course. There you go. Johnny Longden, 64. On Viking Spirit. Well, fascinating. People who grew up loving thoroughbred racing in the Pacific Northwest, this is their, don't want to say this is their derby, because it's not a derby, but it's this is their signature event, to say the least. While we're doing this, since I'm so distracted, the rest of the, and Wenzel also had a maiden winner that might be interesting, for George Todaro, a factor colt named Lloyd's Logic, making a second career start. Out of a Curlin mare that came earlier on the card, came in the third. The rest of the stakes action, actually, let's do this. Tis a Macho Girl for Saratoga West and Steve and Letha Haar. Jeff Metz sending out the Adina Bread Mucho Macho Man, speaking of Mucho Macho Man earlier, right? Romping winner as we say. You also had the Emerald Distaff, Zippin' Sevens, a Coast Guard filly, Washington Bread, and this for Alan Bazell and owner Mike Phillips. Wins the $75,000 Oaks, the Derby, the Muckleshoot Derby. You're the cause. This is a creative cause. Gelding came from absolute dead last to get up. And this for Debbie Van Horn and will win stable. And then, of course, the Long Acres Mile itself. We mentioned yesterday, Slew's Tiz Whiz with Zanino aboard for KD Thoroughbred's Washington Bread, which is just fabulous that a Washington Bred wins this. And happens to be, he's a four-year-old gelding, and had been a five-time winner already coming into this, going shorter. What's notable is he stretched out to the mile, but he did it with, you know, with real style. And he'd won it a mile previously, his previous try in an allowance last summer. But still, you know, he's been getting a steady diet of six and a half. And he was a clear winner. Went off as the second choice behind Top Executive for Blaine Wright, who finished fourth and was basically chasing the pace setter, Papa's Golden Boy. He had some nice mutuals in here, actually. But Slew's Tiz Whiz, and so... we'll see about Tom Wenzel for later. And, you know, Slew's, that happens to be a Slew's Tiz Now. And you know that whenever Slew's Tiz Now does well, we always mention and pay a little tribute, a little homage to Joe Lacombe, who, when we started the show, was one of the owners that I remember getting on and you know, cultivating a in a relationship with Joe Lacombe. Slew's Tiz Now, and what was the other one? Slew's Johnny does confirm, not Johnny. Johnny was not Sandy's agent back then. So, all right. I've gotten very sidetracked. Casey, let me get you Al Stahl, and we'll get Alan here this first hour. There we go. You're in business with a little Al. I have not seen, I don't even know how much, I mentioned this the other day. I have not seen the Stahls, Al, Nicole, and their kids. And I'm sure now I won't because the kids are back in school, I think, already. Right? Isn't the New Orleans school system? I think they got to be home. They got to be back for like the first week in August. So they usually come, but I you know, having been gone the first like 10 days more or less, I didn't get to see them. So while we wait for Al to talk about his Beverly D winner and what else is going on in the barn, we've got Al Stahl right away. Look at that. No vamping necessary. Al Stahl joins us on the occasion of Delica wiring the Beverly D as the longest shot on the board. And Al, congratulations.
Oh, thank you, Steve.
You know, how did you perceive this whole situation with, you know, first of all, the Beverly D and the Arlington Million coming to Churchill, and then the concerns over the turf course?
Well, I wasn't concerned about the turf course, but that's just a personal thing. Just because our horse is a very hardy German-bred, excuse me, mare who's super sound, and she runs over anything. We've run her in really knee-deep stuff, and she's run well. She's run great at Kentucky Downs. She's run well on firm courses, so whatever was out there was not going to bother us at all, and it certainly didn't bother her.
Well, then you get to into the spot itself and the opportunity. Just talk about approaching it, and you know, she is 6 years old, and she you know, Balmar Equine, and you mentioned, you know, the German breeding. You know, she's won her share, Al. So staying around and getting a chance to win this, this is a huge score for Balmar.
No, it is. It is. Paul Varga is Balmar. Those are the initials of his children, and he's a great guy, local guy, Louisville, Kentucky, former chairman of the board of Brown Foreman, and he loves the game, loves the breeding aspect of it, loves the racing, loves the betting. He's all in, and he knows exactly what he's doing. He's been doing it for 45, 50 years, and we met when he was in college. My brother went to UK, and I met his circle of friends, and I've been friends with those guys ever since. So we go back a long way, and he decided that let's keep her in training because of her pedigree, you know, kind of an unusual pedigree, and she was being a really sound mare, and we'd already won a graded stake and a decent amount of money. Let's try and take some chances at some of the bigger stuff. So we got her ready as Camden all winter long, freshened her, brought her back in, and she ran really well at Churchill, and her little bounce race, so to speak, was Diana, not to mention an Italian will make a horse bounce, and after those two races, it didn't even bother. I mean, when I tell you it didn't even bother, she didn't blink an eye. She came back and just was on fire, like she can be. She's that type of horse, and we train her out at Skylight. That's another story we can talk about in a minute, but so she was set up for a big race, being the third race in the cycle. And when things changed, you know, when they announced the Arlington deal, and we said, well, maybe, you know, the turf will keep people away, and end up being a very, you know, serendipitous thing for us to be a local horse sitting right here and to end up in a short field with speed and the rail way out 24 feet and end up drawing one hole, which everything about that, you know, made us happy. And you know, she clearly delivered and fought really hard and ran just a wonderful race. And Brian did a great job filling in for Miguel Mena / Ricardo Santana. Everything just came together at the right time, right place, right time. That's how you win these big races.
In terms of the, you know, the distance, that is a factor, because not that she hasn't been effective going longer, because she has, but, you know, the mile and the eighth feels like, you know, a good distance for her, and I think you've, you know, had her go as short as a mile and as long as a mile and a half.
Yeah, no, she's won going 5.5, and she was second in the Kirtana, beating a head or a neck or whatever it was, for a mile and a half. She's a graded stakes winner at mile and 3/8, and she's won at a mile 70 at Kentucky Downs and was second in the mile race at Kentucky Downs and was probably going to run in the mile race at Kentucky Downs again. So she's a Swiss Army knife, or maybe a German Army knife.
Exactly. Davika wins pretty much wire to wire. There was a point where Princess Grace tested her and rebuffed her. How'd you watch it, and what were you thinking? You know, watching the them sort of hook up there.
Well, I thought that you know, we were comfortable, and she hooked us, and That filly, Mike Stidham's, really looked good in the paddock. I remember her last year, in the mile race that Princess Grace ended up winning, and she looked quite a bit different this year. Looked like a bigger, stronger version of herself. So I know Michael gave her some time off, and I'm sure they got to be pleased with how she's come back. So I thought that might be the horse to beat, and you know, being by Cara Conte out of Bernstein mare, and I think it was her second race back off the penny, I believe. I thought, well, maybe, you know, maybe she might not quite stay that little extra part, and it turned out to be that way. Or maybe she was running as hard as she could wire, and we just were just super game and fit also. But it was a really nice horse race.
Well, where do you go from here? What do you consider for her as the fall approaches?
We'll most likely go back to Kentucky Downs, and even though she's not KTDF nominated,
right,
she's not Breeders' Cup nominated either, but if she would enter in the, say, the mile race that she was second in last year, the purse would go to $1 million. So I think because she's a grade one winner, I think if my math is correct, she might run for a gross purse of $550. And she likes that course and the timing's right and things like that. So going forward, I'm in the 90th percentile of being that we're not going to supplement to the Breeders' Cup and run the Breeders' Cup. It just doesn't make sense to us. It's $200,000, no. Even though she's a winning year in, but that's it just doesn't make sense. So after Kentucky Downs, we'll just figure something out. But she will be, you know, shut down and bred next year. But she's just gonna, you know, as long as she's happy and sound like she is, you know, she's gonna stay in training. We'll continue to try and find nice spots for her.
Well, and of course, last year, speaking of Kentucky Downs, and I'm looking forward to, you know, going back, and we're going to broadcast from Kentucky Downs with Hammer a number of times you know, during the meet. Can't be there the Labor Day weekend, but immediately following. And one of the great moments, of course, for listeners and for everybody that were, you know, was on their toes, was In Good Spirits last year. One of the craziest stories. Literally was ready to not make the van down to Kentucky Downs, and gets a last second, not a reprieve, but gets a last second opportunity to make the race, and then wins at what, 15-1, I think.
Yeah, right. She, you know, those when those horses drawing off AE, sometimes you get a few extra points on the board, and because she was second in the caress, so it's like her form wasn't bad, and we obviously wanted to get in the race. And, I mean, we were literally 15 minutes from sending that van away. And Hal Wiggins, the steward, called me and said, we had a vet scratch on a pre-race exam. Do you want to still run? I said, do we? And it was literally like just a mad dash, a little bit of equipment, a horse, and a guy. And off she went, south 65 south, ran a great race. And she's actually looking to defend this year in the same race.
Well, Hammer, we had made it clear to people that there was a lot to like about In Good Spirits getting into the race, and a number of people I think went to town. That I remember that as one of the really fun parts of the trip down there. Al Stahl with us. Expand on what you said about training her at Skylight. You were going to go in a direction,
right? Well, she's a brutally tough mare to train. Nothing crazy. She doesn't like, you know, duck and dive and lunge. She just strong and on a tight dirt racetrack like Fairgrounds, and she would pull hard, and we just literally couldn't find a rider or equipment or just anything to really handle her. So we just went to a plan B, and we sent her out to Tom Drury's training barn at Skylight, which is a synthetic track, which is a good thing. And we take her, you know, the wrong way of the racetrack on a few days a week, and it's very tranquil out there, very sylvan type of place. And you know, just she's really, really done well. She was there last year, and she's been there this year, and she just looks good. It's home for her. And matter of fact, she's at Churchill right now, but she's heading out there in the next hour or so. And she'll train there up to the Kentucky Downs race, and head straight from there to the Kentucky Downs in, you know, the 10th of September. And she just done well out there. She's easier on herself. Let's put it that way.
Excellent. All right. Looking forward to seeing you. And you know, speaking of which, are you coming back here at all?
Yes. I'm trying to work my way back up there. I've got a couple to run this weekend, and something to run midweek, and maybe about half a dozen left to run up there. My car's still up there, so I'm gonna head back up there in a day or so, and and wrap it up and head on back and kind of focus in on Kentucky in the fall, starting with Kentucky Downs.
Well, we'll check in on some of your runners coming up, because I did not see you the front half of the meet, and I'm sure the kids have already been and gone home, right? School's got to have started.
Oh, yeah, school's already started. Yeah, Nicole and the kids have already settled back in and doing their thing, and I'm just getting caught up with my Churchill barn. We got quite a few down here, and it was very organized and looks pretty good, actually, so I'm comfortable heading back up and finishing up there and then turning back around and starting all over.
Well, you know, I literally have this gallery of the family stall in the paddock at Saratoga for maybe I must have at least four of them over a 10-year period. So we're not going to get one of those family portraits in the paddock, I guess, this year.
Well, we'll get your man Daniel Segal took your place. He gets them every year too.
Danny is a one-man paparazzi.
Yes, he really is.
he's the craziest. You'll run into Dan Segal somewhere, and he'll have some crazy thing to tell you about, or I was thinking of you. I was thinking of you. I was going to pay us a picture. Look at this.
You go to Ocala, and all of a sudden, who do you like? You'll start showing you pictures of horses that you've looked at five times.
Exactly. It's so funny. I get the biggest kick out of Danny Segal. Al, let's talk about the race today. One of the reasons I was going to come to you was because you're in the Seeking the Pearl, which is the first of the stakes today, the 7/8 race for the three and ups. And give us a glance here. This is actually a nice, pretty nice group that came together. And Caribbean Caper, the outside open air box, as Marty McGee says, and this undefeated Spitestown filly, we've talked about her as things have gone on, and here she is, kind of an interesting spot to make a seasonal debut.
But it's hard to find a race for horses that have won so many races. Allowance races, for the most part, don't exist or don't fill, and you don't want to go straight to the wolves, and so she had a little setback. She was ready to run 100% for opening day at Churchill. I think it was April 30th. Had to scratch her off the program with some tying up and little things. So we backed off on her, gave her about 45 days, and started again. And she's come back really well. And by the time we got her reorganized and fit like we think she might be, she had a Jose Ortiz worked her 5/8 out the gate at Saratoga last weekend, and he was, double thumbs up. So it was time to pull the trigger, and there really weren't that many spots. And this race is we're in Saratoga, and it's close enough. So we just entered and to take a look at it. And we drew the nice post on the outside. That made me feel good. And the weather is really, really nice down there and cool. And then we had a really smooth van ride from Saratoga on Michelle Lavelle's van with her stud 2-year-old. Everything has been really, really nice and smooth, and Arch Kingsley is looking after us down there, so it's time for her to get going, and we're really looking forward to getting her started, and we actually think she's going to be really good today, so we're excited about everything.
Well, and that is nice. I mean, you've got, when you start putting together that roster of support between Michelle and Arch, you're in pretty good hands.
Oh, yeah, we just sent our guy down there, and she shipped well, and everything's, knock on wood, no phone calls, which is always good in the situations like this. So we're good, and everything is set up, and, this is the first step. I mean, who knows, trying to get percentage of fitness on a horse, I think, is a little bit of a waste of time. So we'll see what happens, and hopefully this propels her into the, perfect case scenario would be, come back down to the TCA at Keeneland, and who knows what happens after that, but that's kind of what we're thinking.
The 7/8, I mean, that's a demanding comeback spot, isn't it, Al?
Well, it can be, but if you get a slower pace down the backside and that outside post, she can go at her own pace, so I'm not really sure. I mean, she's not going to be hopefully head and head and 22 flat, 45 and 4, something like that. But you know, she can just find a stride and then make that turn and see what she's got from there. It can be tough, but she's got a really good form at 7/8.
That she does. 3 for 3, and I suppose this is also simultaneously a prep for the Madison.
Well, it could be. It could be. We were thinking of the Thoroughbred Club opening weekend.
Okay, TCA. There you go.
If she'd be a Breeders' Cup, the Madison's in the spring, isn't it, or not? Am I missing?
Not the Mueller. No, you're right. You're right.
Yeah. The straight threes or something, maybe. But the TCA is what we're kind of hoping to get into, and, you know, a lot of ifs and a lot of wishing and all that stuff. But you got to have a plan, right?
No, exactly. Exactly right. Well, nice to, you know, that's the kind of, you know, intrigue that when you've got a place like Colonial that, you know, has got real money now to, you know, put up against the stakes program and the overnight program, this is the kind of thing that happens. You've got an undefeated horse running on a Tuesday at 3:09 in the afternoon.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. I set my alarm for my clock in case I get run around or something, just to make sure. I doubt I'll forget that, but it's something we're not used to. At least I'm not. But I'm you know, I'm looking forward to it. The surface down there has got a great reputation, so that's a plus. And it's like I said, we drew some nice weather, so it's not like you have to go run in, you know, super oppressive humidity. So everything's kind of, you know, makes you feel good.
Al, let's touch on a couple of things that you know, might be coming up. You said you got a few left to run, and you got a 2-year-old or two to keep an eye on for folks.
Yeah, I do. I got a 2-year-old colt, a Motown colt named Mo Saturdays, who we're looking forward to running 5.5 on the turf. I think it's September 1st. So that'll be our next 2-year-old to run there. And the rest are just some older horses that have already run, and they've run good races. Peaceful Waters ran second. He's coming back in the same race. Repealing ran a good third. She's coming back in the same race. Raining Spirit was rained off the turf on that crazy day where we got that last turf race in, and all the end of the world showed up. So he's got a race going 1.5 miles on the inner. He should be live there. He was second in the stakes. So, you know, a few good pops at it, and then we turn around and come back this way.
Excellent. Well, and I'm just looking at any of the maidens that might be running. Oh, what's going on with Mass Parade? We should ask. You just missed in the Aladar.
Yeah, Mass Parade. I'm gonna give him a little 30-day break. He can get a little wonky in his back end, and he's back down here. He's gonna go to Kessmark for 30 days, and we're gonna swim him. We're gonna aqua tread him and saltwater him. Saltwater's fine. Hopefully pick him back up in 30 days and do some stuff in the fall.
Excellent. Well, Al, lots of good things obviously going on. That's not unusual, and we'll get a chance to catch up with you before Saratoga breaks camp, and then we'll see you down at Kentucky Downs. We'll have some fun down there, too.
Oh, yeah. Now I'm looking forward to it.
Al Stahl and the Arlington Million Victory, and now later today a chance to saddle up another. Well, he's not going to saddle. Arch Kingsley is, but Caribbean Caper for Columbine Stable, and she'd been out of sight, out of mind, and you know she'd be a very timely, nice addition to the, right. We talked about how the filly and mare sprint division kind of needing a little boost, and here it is. Maybe Caribbean Caper. She left the scene last year as a 3-year-old with a 90 buyer in that big victory in the Dogwood. Just ran off with Colby Hernandez, and now comes back as a 4-year-old. Should be that much better, and would not be surprised if she leaps forward. You look at the rest of this group. If you haven't looked at this race, we're going to do it with Jessica Paquette next hour. But actually, this is kind of a nice set of fillies and mares. Calypso in here for Steve Asmussen, who's trying to kind of pull her form together. The four-year-old that Baffert had, of course, for quite a while, and then was sold. And Fee d'Esprit did not care. Jerry Robb's Great Notion mare did not care for the slop in the Alma North at Laurel. Kylosaurus for Tim Kreiser. Coming over from Penn, and holy cow, is she coming in hot. How about this? 34-3, and then a 34-2. You got to be kidding. August 3rd, 34-3, and then she came back 34-2. Wow. Kalosaurus, she's a veteran six-year-old mare. The Grass is Blue, who, of course, is that crazy story that Louis Lazanero bought this horse, this filly, as a two-year-old after an incredible maiden win for John Stevens. And then Louis had some success with Chad. Then Bill Mott sent her out to the Iowa Oaks last year. Has come back with Graham Motion and new management, new owners, and the Grass is Blue in here, 8-1. But Caribbean Caper, 5-2. You also got that Edie Meanie Miney Moe from Michelle Hemingway. Two race win streak, including the regret at Monmouth. So there you go. Nice. And we'll talk about the rest of those stakes with Jessica. Right now, we'll take the break. Casey, let's slip out. We'll come back with Andy Beyer. And Andy is going to take us back. We're going to get in the Wayback Machine. Yeah. Hey, Mr. Peabody? Let's go. We'll take a break. And when we come back, was Mr. Peabody with the Wayback, right? Yeah. And Sherman. The 1972 Sanford Stakes. Andy Beyer was there. I heard from Leslie Knopf this morning, and Leslie was there, and with a group of friends, they were actually rooting for Linda's Chief. Looking forward to Andy's visit. Andy Serling as well. Johnny D. and Jessica Paquette. There's your morning. All right. I have not heard back from Tom Wenzel, so we'll maybe save him. And just here. Nope, it's not Tom. All right. We'll be back after this. Andy Beyer joins us.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Thoroughbred horse racing is back in Virginia as Colonial Downs conducts its More Racing, More Money summer season presented by Woodford Reserve. An early week racing schedule and average daily purses of $625,000. The 9-week meet runs from July 11th through September 7th with racing every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 1:45 p.m. Wager on Colonial's 50-cent pick 5 with a low 12% takeout and a new carryover provision. All races will be broadcast on TVG this summer. Colonial Downs racing Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 1:45 p.m.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Pons family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and currently stands the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Want to get your career in horse racing off to a fast start? Well, the University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals, with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry, the Racetrack Industry Program can put you in the winner's circle.
Visit ua-rtip.org today.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing...